Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 Valero Texas Open, the final PGA Tour event before the Masters. So we'll get you ready for that. Pretty loaded field for once at Valero. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. A little day late because I had the little one yesterday, so Jesse accommodated, and we're getting it to you here because Valero actually has a decent field, I guess, this week. So, before we get there, though, Jaeger bombs.
Yeah.
Got it done last week.
Yeah.
You're excited about that.
I wasn't because I didn't bet him, didn't play him on DraftKings. So I did not get to. I actually bet Scotty live a couple times.
That's the way to do it right now.
And, you know, I fully expected him to win, but it was just a par fest. Golf course played a lot harder than years past, and nobody could make a putt. So, yeah, that's pretty much Jaeger's really good tee to green, and he just – I think he made – did he shoot even par on the back
Yeah, nine? I was going to say he made – it was even par on the back nine, not one birdie. It was all pars, nine pars in a row, which is pretty wild to think you won a golf tournament by one stroke and you didn't have to birdie one of the final nine holes.
There's some very birdieable holes coming in there, too. I think 17 was drivable, par five before that. And yeah, so kind of bizarre. But obviously we're fans of Jaeger, so I'm happy for him. But just wish I would have been a lot happier if I would have been able to cash in.
It was weird.
I bet him plenty this year.
I was gonna say it was weird to see a 55-1 win. Like, yeah. it's usually
our range. Our range.
Like, yeah, that's the happy place.
Yeah,
it was because at first I'm like, okay, Jaeger's pretty good, but what are his odds? At least 80, 90? Like, just the only way they win, right? And they looked like, no, 55. That's about right.
Yeah,
that's fair. I keep dreaming about legal gambling in my state because Tom Hoagie, top 20, like Norin, I love top. Like a lot of the guys I liked were all doing their thing.
Matty Schmidt had another one.
That was like a plus 300 one or something like that. I was looking at.
I bet him. You said top 40, so I hit him top 40, which was like easy close money. To 2-1, but still.
Yeah, easy money though. Like there's a couple guys that I'm loving those deeper markets. Everyone, 55-1 is fun, but you got to hit those once in a while. Go throw about 10 darts between the top 20 and top 40 and have some fun watching golf for the weekend. That's the way
I agree, man. I mean, I think it's a good way to bet, and it's a lot more predictable in a very unpredictable sport.
Keeps you more entertained, I think. You'll have horses in the race come Sunday. Well,
and it also doesn't drain your bank account trying to hit a winner every week, especially this year where we're getting 100-1 plus winners most of the week. So. I'm with you.
Speaking of 100 plus winners, we go to Valero, where in the past there's been a couple kind of quasi mid pack or slash favorite people. For the most part, bombs away at this golf course early on when Stephen Bowditch took one down here. So, what do you have for some past event history for the Valero Texas Open?
Yeah, last year, Corey Connors, 15 under, one shot over Sam Stevens, which is his second time. He actually won this event the first time in 2019. But J.J. Spawn won it in 2022, 13 under, two shots over Matt Jones and Matt Kuchar. 2021 was Jordan Spieth, 18 under, two shots over Charlie Hoffman. They did not play in 2020. Like I said, Corey Connors won the first time in 2019, 20 under, two shots over Charlie Hoffman. Andrew Landry, past champion, 17 under, two shots over Mullinax and O'Hare. Kevin Chappell, Charlie Hoffman actually has won here before. And like you said, one Mr. Stephen Bowditch also won this event. Adam Scott, who's in the field, is also a past champion.
Yeah, it's a fun event. Usually not a bunch of people played it. I feel like this used to be more in the fall swing of things. It got moved up again because no match play. So we got that going for us. People come here to ramp up for the Masters. There's 11 of the top 30 players in the world at this event, which does not happen very often. There's 156 golfers, top 65 in ties this week. obviously getting ready for the Masters, and we are playing at TPC, or I just totally blanked on it. It's Oaks Course TPC San Antonio. I was going to say TPC Oaks Course. It's Oaks Course TPC San Antonio. It's a par 72, 7,400 40 to 50 yards, depending on where the tee boxes are. So a decent size. It's a top 10 in distance course on the tour. You can tell by the name, the Oaks Course, tree line all over. They're gettable fairways, but they do shrink down around the 300-yard mark. So if you want to go bombs, you better be accurate, but you can still poke it pretty good. Have your way. It's 10 par 4s, 4 par 5s, 4 par 3s, standard stuff there. Most of your par 3s are 200+, so you got that going for you. Got to get to the par 5s. Water's only in play on three holes. You got sand bunkers all around the greens. That's one of the big things. Getting up and down from the sand will be very, very important here. You got Bermuda grass greens, a little overseed this time of year as well. We've seen that in recent events. The biggest factor to this golf course is the weather. Texas winds. If it gets windy, this course will play really tough. If it doesn't get windy, accurate golfers should have their way to, like you said, Connors was 15 last year. You get a lot of guys in that mid-teens would make a ton of sense at this event. And if anybody needs to have some fun with LIV Golf playing this weekend at Doral, this course was designed by Greg Norman and helped designed by Sergio Garcia. So that's kind of ironic to me in my last little bit. So what do you got? What are you looking at stats-wise on this one?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit it on the head there. Obviously, there's enough course history to throw a little weight on that. It's for the winner, typically a birdie or better course. But, if you're just looking for cut makers, bogey avoidance, I think, is fine to wait. And then just a lot of the normal stuff, hit it far and hit a green.
Yep. Hit it far, hit a green, get hot putter. Like kind of what we saw last week. It was a similar skill set to last week, it feels like, but little longer golf course here. So we'll see how it goes, especially like, cause at, last week at, the Houston Open, it got windier than heck on Friday and Saturday. That was a wild one. That's what kind of kept the scoring down a bit. So it'll be interesting to see how we get it here in the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio. Let's talk DFS here. Starting 10K and above, you got four golfers, Jesse. You got Rory McIlroy at 12-3, then Matsuyama at 10-6, Ludwig at 10-5, and Morikawa at 10-1. Who are you targeting in this range?
Obviously, it's hard to talk anybody off of playing Rory. We were talking beforehand that we're not going to be playing him, so... Yep. It's probably a good idea to play him
because lock him in, folks. 100% exposure. You're welcome.
I think Hideki is playable. He's made two out of three cuts here. He did withdraw in 2022. Obviously, won the Genesis, finished 12th the week after that, sixth at the Players. So, I've been playing some really solid golf. Big fan of him next week too for the Masters. But and then Ludwig, he did miss the cut here in his one start, which was 2 years ago, 2022, but obviously not the same guy. Coming in off eighth place finish at the Players, hasn't finished outside the top 25 since the beginning of the year. He's only had five starts this year since the beginning of the year, which was the Sony Open for him. Or I guess he played the Century as well. He didn't have a good Hawaii swing. He's had a great since swing. So Ludwig, I think, is definitely playable. I don't know that I will play any of these guys. I think there's plenty of ways to start it in the 9K. We'll talk about that here in a second. But again, I wouldn't talk anybody off of playing anybody over 10K. Just like usual, it's the best of the best here.
Yep, I'm with you. And there's a great chance I avoid most of this range, but I do like Hideki quite a bit at 10-6. Over the last 24 rounds, he actually rates out first in my model. He's first around the green, seventh in approach, fourth in par fives, third in par four scoring. Like he just does a little bit of everything, birdie or better, 10th in this field. You mentioned some, the past stuff here, 15th last year, withdraw 30th, which is great. But that current form is what gets me going the most. The Players and API at 6th and 12th, he's rounding into shape very, very nicely. So I like Hideki a lot at 10-6, like you said. Definitely like him next week in Augusta, but like him here as well. And then Ludwig, he's 5th in my model. So he's 1st in par 4 scoring, 7th in bogey avoidance, 1st with 4th in opportunities gained, 3rd in par 3s, 2 to 225. Just rates out pretty good across the board, a very balanced approach, which looking at the layout of the golf course, if you're just a very good balanced player, like you find your fairways, you got a good approach game, like you're going to score here and at least find the weekend and see where you go from there. So I do like Ludwig quite a bit as well. And those would be the main two guys for me. Morikawa, it might click eventually. He just looks lost, especially with the putter. It's like really, really bad of late. And then Rory, like his like wedge game's been rough. Like it's been really weird of late. And I'm just going to kind of sit back and let Rory burn me once. And then we'll probably keep fading him because he'll go away again. We'll see. But so it's Hideki and it's Ludwig for me if I am up here. 9K range, you got Homa at 99, Fitz at 97, Spieth 95, Connors 94, Fleetwood 92, and Binion at 9,000, who pulled an April Fool's joke that got my blood pressure going until I realized the date. But who are you liking in this range?
You weren't the only one that got there, I think.
Oh, I saw Feinberg got nailed real good. Like yeah, I didn't tell Feinberg went in.
Yeah. Jordan Spieth at 95 is where I start here. He's played here a lot. He does have a win. He won in 2021. I've totally forgot I even said that 5 minutes ago. My wife says I have a terrible memory, which I do.
I get it all the time. It's called being a guy, I'm told.
The weird thing about Jordan coming in here this year, off the back-to-back missed cuts. So missed the cut, the Valspar, missed the cut, the Players. Now, we're back to Texas. This is his home state, stomping grounds. To be honest with you, I'd rather miss the cut this week. And go into next week with three straight missed cuts and the ownership not be there, because when we get to the Masters and his course history there, it's pretty incredible. But I like playing Jordan this week. I also like playing Corey Connors. Obviously, two-time winner, past champion, come off a 13th place finish the Players, 18th at the Arnold Palmer. And I'm also will be betting Corey Connors because I think he's got some value there. And then Binion, at 9,000, sixth here last year, 2021 missed the cut, but seventh and 40th in the two previous starts before that. He has come off a missed cut at the Players. He shot 80 on Friday, but before that was in a really good stretch of golf. So I expect him to bounce back pretty well here at $9,000.
Yeah, similar boat here. And I'm looking at this 9K range, like, might lead me to more Hideki and Ludwig. Just looking at this, because there's only two guys I like, and it's Hideki. I mean, it's Corey Connors. I think everyone's going to like him, though, because this stuff what you mentioned about two out of the last 4 years here. He's fourth in my model. He's coming and playing great golf, as you mentioned as well. Like the finish has been good. He's fourth in approach. He's fifth in opportunities gained, 13th in par five scoring. He's sixth in good drives. So he keeps him in the fairway, which helps his approach game. Biggest thing for him, it's always with Connors, is that putter. He's been putting well lately. We'll see where that goes. And then Binion, I'm going right back to him, 29th in my model. He's first in birdie or better in this field over the last 24 rounds, 12th in par four scoring. Bogey avoidance could be something to be improved by Binion, but, you know, the approach game is pretty strong. You mentioned the past history here, sixth, miscut, seventh. I'll take those two out of three every time. And the miscut of the Players with one of the epic tweets of all time from the beach, that was just pure gold. But an eighth at API, 21st at the Cognizant prior to that, playing really good golf since coming back from his quote unquote, I don't know how he actually took legal steroids allegation. But Binion at 9,000 would be a dude for me. So I only really like two guys in this 9K range, which is weird because most weeks I'm like, I want to play the whole 9K range. I still need Max to show me something. It's just not there. Like if I have to pick one kind of really sneaky to me guy here, I think Fitz is close.
Yeah, well, the thing about – I'm sure you saw this. Did you see where he'd been playing with some kind of weight?
Stupid weight in his driver for, like, what, 6 months or something? Maybe longer?
Yeah, that's baffling to me. That
as a professional golfer, especially when people check your equipment, like, how does that happen?
He did win in that time frame. He won the Alfred Dunhill back in October.
That's true. I
mean, he's coming off a fifth-place finish. He could be the sneaky guy here. I agree with that. Like, he's not going to look good on most of your models because coming in, he's not been playing that great. But, you know, I'm looking at 13% ownership projection here.
Yep.
So I don't know what you're looking at, but.
Yeah. For me on mine, it's about 9 to 10%, it looks like. So pretty similar. But yeah, when I was looking at, I was checking my guys off. I kept looking at Fitz, never played here before, the Players thing, and what you mentioned with the driver. I'm like, Fitz is one of those guys, if we are emphasizing approach game with the longer course, he could be kind of one of those dudes that sneaks in there out of this range, low owned, that could pop for you. So right. I will have a couple fit shares. I will say that much. 8K range. We got Billy Hose playing really good golf. I don't know if you can see that because you're blocked, but he's playing really good golf right now at $8,900. You got Norn at 87, who I'm just, God, he keeps playing so good. Harmon at 86, Scott 85, English 83, Henley 82, Kim 81, and Ricky Fowler at 8,000. Who you like in this range?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Noren coming in. Yep. Hasn't finished outside the top 20 in his last three starts. Has in a 15th place finish in his one start here last year, so most definitely playable. Adam Scott, past champion 2010. I know it was a long time ago. His most recent start here was in 2018. He missed the cut. Coming off a made cut, the players finished 45th. Not great. I mean, he's not coming in playing like out of this world, but he did have a stretch there earlier this year where he did have four straight top 20s. So I do look for him to bounce back this week. And then the last two in the 8K range here, Tom Kim, Ricky Fowler. I mean, a couple of disappointing seasons for both. Tom, he's made five straight cuts. His best finish was 17th at the Phoenix Open. He didn't play the players, right?
Yeah, I think he backed out like on Wednesday or something due to injury.
Gotcha. Well, I don't know what's up with the injury, but I you know, the upside to me at 8,100, and also too, when we get to the betting portion, you know, I think it's there to throw some money down. So I mean, like, to me, it's either play him on DraftKings or, you know, throw a little bit of money down on the betting market. And then Ricky Fowler at 8,000. I mean, so Ricky's course history is what really draws me to him. 10th missed cut, 17th, 17th in his four starts here. So three out of four made cuts, all three made cuts inside the top 20. He's made four straight cuts on tour. You know, he finished 68th at the Players, not great, 36th on Palmer. So I mean, like, the finishes aren't there, but, you know, again, the upside for these two guys, in my opinion, at this price is worth playing at least some, especially if you're playing a bunch of lineups.
Yeah, as we looked up the Tom Kim thing, he withdrew due to illness before the Players, like the day before the Players. I remember it was something COVID or something. Like that. Yeah, it's something, basically. Maybe had
the so we're guys. Good.
Yeah, we should be fine. So, yeah, 8K range, like Billy Ho, he rates out well. He's 12th on my model. I just get really nervous because he was so bad for so long, but he's coming in with 7th last week, 12th at Valspar, missed cut of the Players, 9th at the Cognizant. So the Players is always a crapshoot. So you give him a 7th, 12th, and a 9th in the other three events. It's pretty dang good when it comes to Billy Ho, who hasn't played here since 2019, missed cut T11, though, in 18. So if you think Billy Ho's back, he's at 89. But I'll go to Alexander Noren, 15th here last year. He was my one and done last week, finished 11th. He's just been on an absolute tear, as you mentioned. Like, part of me wishes I had him again this week because he's just a steady Eddie. I don't know if he'll ever win, but he's got the goods to just, like I'll play it. He might be locked in my DFS lineups. $8,700 bucks. He's just that good. So then again, play Rory. Don't play Noren, everybody. You've been warned. Okay, you mentioned the Ricky case. I checked him off also because the course history is amazing. Even in his bad years, he was playing well, which made it interesting. But, man, I'm looking at his stat line here, and it's he's 134th in this field out of the last 24 rounds, and it's just a whole lot of red and pink. It's brutal what's going on there. So, like, Tom Kim I like a little more if you're going to pick between the two, like you mentioned. But the two guys I'll mention is Harris English at $8,300. He's 22nd in my model. Just steady across the board outside of opportunities gained. So if it's a birdie fest, we'll see with Harris English. But missed cut in 19, 36th and 18th. So I haven't played here in a while. But what I saw with English, 19th of the Players, 21st of the API, just doing Harris English steady things, quietly doing it. So I think he's interesting. And then I'll also think Brian Harmon, similar to my Fitzpatrick up in the 9K range. Harmon's my dude in this range. He hasn't played since 2019 when he missed the cut here. I think we can all agree that's a different Brian Harmon than we're getting now. He missed the cut at the Valspar after a second at the Players, 12th at the API. You know, obviously open champion, we'll have to discuss that. But just his par five scoring has been really bad over the last 24 rounds, which shocks me. Other than that, though, he's rating up pretty decent around everything. So, like, the way I like Fitz is kind of a sneaky in the 9K range. I would say Harmon would be my dude in this range, projected to be about 8%, give or take, ownership-wise. So that could give you some leverage down here if you are looking for it. 7K range. We'll just group it all together here. Cibes, Rye, Batia, all the way down to Todd, Victor Perez, and Sam Ryder, Mark Hubbard. So what do you like in the 7K range?
I was wondering if you were going
to go. I started it. I'm like, no one needs to hear me name 15 guys off, so we're just going to do that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Cibes at 7,900. 28th here last year, and coming off a ninth place finish at the Valspar, 13th at the Players. So obviously coming in pretty good form. Aaron Rye. Did you see all those big bets that somebody placed on Aaron Rye and just a matchup head to head?
I think I was listening to one of Feinberg shows or something after we did ours. And I'm like, he kept making jokes about, is this Aaron Rye's bookie or whatever, fall guy or something? There's all these jokes.
His translator. I think that's the joke now, which you understand.
Yeah, from Shohei.
Very well. Yeah. But yeah, seventh. He ends up finishing seventh. I mean, he played really well, which is wild. And I'm sure he won his head-to-head, whoever that was against. I can't even remember. But he's got good course history, too. 28th, 29th last 2 years. So definitely playable. Keith Mitchell rates out really well in my model. The last 2 years here, he has finished 17th, or the last two starts here for him, 21st, 2021, he finished 17th, 2018, he finished 26th. But he's coming off a missed cut at the Houston Open. You know, I think it's totally fine to go back to him. It's not like he was shooting 80-80, he shot 71-71. And before that, you know, was in contention a couple weeks ago. I can't remember exactly where, but here comes the sun in on my face. Bo Hostler, it's Texas. He's played here plenty. Finished fourth here in 2022. Mav McNeely, 35th here last year. This price is way too low on Mav, especially coming off the pretty good showing that he had a couple weeks ago at the Players, and then finished 45th at the Valspar. He hasn't missed a cut since the American Express in early January. EVR at 7,400 is another dude who I definitely will play. Missed cut 14th in his two starts here, coming off a missed cut, but before that was 25th, 2nd, and 8th. So he'll be able to bounce back. Victor Perez at 7,100 has never played here, finished 17th last week. And Sam Ryder is a boomer bust guy. I think he's another guy that you mentioned, like a top 40 bet or something last week. He ended up finishing 64th because I bet him.
Fell apart at the end, too.
It wasn't a good Saturday for him. He shot 74, and he bounced back with a 68. That's four straight made cuts for Sam Ryder on tour. He finished third here last year after back-to-back missed cuts. So that's what I got for now. I'm going to close these blinds and let you talk.
And that's interesting thinking about Sam Ryder, who longer courses and finished third here, almost won the Farmers last year also. So maybe there's something to it. Who knows? But for me in this range, another reason why I might play more Hideki and Ludwig is in the 7K range, I have 11 golfers in the top 30 in the model.
Yeah.
Like they rate out really, really good. So you can like justify going, okay, I'm paying somewhere in 7K for a guy that might finish, you know, top 20. That's what you're looking for. So like Aaron Rye, you mentioned he's seventh in my model. Like that's really good. He's first in good drives in this field. So if we're putting an emphasis on that, that's big. Fourth on par four scoring. So I like that. Seabez at 79. He's 28th in my model. It feels like we were all over him, and then he fell apart, and he's starting to come back to form. Right now, he comes in here a ninth at Valspar, 13th at the Players, 44th at API. So three straight made cuts on the mainland for Seabez, and he finished 28th here last year in his first start at this event. He tied with Aaron Rye. So Seabez is interesting. We saw Bhatia last week. He's 20th in my model. Played really well like for Friday and Saturday. Just kind of does his thing. Just very outside of around the green game, he is very solid in my model. So Bhatia is interesting. I'm with you on Keith Mitchell. Rough week last week, but he's third overall in my model. Last 24 rounds, first in approach, first in opportunities gained in this field. Putter's atrocious. So we'll see where Killer Keith goes, but I can jump back on. Like the miscut thing, it's always a good idea to get back on that train, folks. You mentioned Bo Hostler, Texas narrative. He's 31st. If you want to go 12 in the top 31 of my model, you got him in there. But he's played good, bad, but he just makes cuts here regardless. So he's probably a better cash game play than anything. A few others, EVR 100% with you. He's 16th in my model. He's second in par five scoring in this field, seventh in birdie or better. I like the missed cut and then took a little breather after that hot run he was on. I'm all for that. Let's go right back to EVR, getting ready for the Masters. Glover went right back to him. It was okay. I think things were okay there for Glove last week. Not ideal. But our Valspar 11th after we talked about the miscut. So keep with Glover. He just has a phenomenal all-around game outside of his putter, of course, and his sweat glands. But, you know, nothing we can do about that. Par 5 scoring, surprisingly, is not great. 127th in this field. Putnam, great course history here. Coming in decent form. Vic Perez is 17th in my model, so I'm with you there with him and Sam Ryder. And I'm going to mention Mark Hubbard, though. This is like 15th in my model, third in par five scoring, third birdie or better over the last 24 rounds. He's 13th in approach. when you look at the event history here, it's missed cut last year in his first trip here. So if you're going off of that, that's all you got. But 31st last week, 31st at the Players, 64th at the Cognizant. He was playing better than 31st last week before he kind of fell apart. So Hubs could be a fun one as well, but a pretty darn loaded 7K range, especially if you want to differentiate, you want to play ownership, you want to get like three 7K guys and load up top. Very doable this week by looking at things. So kind of actually piques my interest in a roundabout way. Decent amount of 6K guys I like here too. So who you liking in the 6K range?
Yeah, there's definitely some playable dudes down here. Matt Kuchar is just a course history play. The form coming in, 49th, four straight missed cuts. But he's never missed a cut here, at least since 2016. And he finished third last year and second the year before. Rio, I'm not going to say his last name, $6,600. This is not a course history because he's never been here before, but coming off an 18th place finish his last time out at the Puerto Rico Open. Max Grazerman, I mentioned him last week. Too. Yeah, and it was sickening to see him finish seventh.
Oh, you didn't play him.
Didn't play him, didn't bet him, nothing. Got nothing out of it, but I hope somebody out there did. So seventh last week, 33rd, 15th in his last three starts there. Has never played here before. Novak was a guy I did play last week. In hindsight, would have really loved to have
Grazerman
instead. If I could tell you anything about Novak, I would, but it's not loading there. Kevin Yu at 6,100 is another guy. Bramlett, 6,100. S.H. Kim at 6,100. And Jimmy Stranger at 6,000 to round out and Jonathan Vegas at 6,200.
Stranger's another one of those guys that we've kind of joked about lately.
Yeah.
And he keeps just doing enough.
I guess it's Stanger, but Stanger, he did miss yes. cut at the Valspar, but before that had four straight made cuts. Vegas, another guy, $6,200 there. And then, I mean, Charlie Hoffman. I mean,
I have him checked off, yes.
Yeah. I mean, after almost winning the Phoenix Open, he's gone 50th miscut. But if
anybody can get,
if this is a get right place for anybody, I think it's Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah. Phoenix and Houston or anywhere in Texas is a get right place for Charlie Hoffman. We saw it right in Phoenix.
And
went bad. Yep.
And first round leader at the Masters if he can get there.
Yes, if he can get there. He's got to have a heck of a week this week. So I think it's actually too late for that. I'm not sure.
I think he'll probably win.
If you win.
You have to win and get in.
We'll see how that goes. But 6K range for me, it's like I'm always an Adam Schenck fan. He's missed three straight cuts here, but then seventh the year before that, it's more about recent form, like 33rd, 19th of the Players. What do you prefer? There's probably other options if you prefer course history down here. Like somehow Matthew Kuchar is a very, very interesting one down here. Third, second, 12th, 7th the last 4 years of this event. Third, second, 12th, 7th for Matthew Kuchar. Just going to throw that out there. Shocked me when I saw it. 49th at the Valspar, miscut at the Players, miscut at the Cognizant. So he's getting old, and I expect a lot more miscuts, but man, that's a heck of a course history if you've ever wanted to see one. Lee Hodges, 25th, 35th, 12th, his last three events on tour. Comes into here with a sixth place last year. Ben Griffin, miscut here last year in his debut, but coming in, swinging it well, 36th, 17th, miscut at the Players, 55th. I'm with you on Novak, 53rd last week, 17th the week before. He's been playing really good golf. Miscut the Players, 9th at the Cognizant. Ryan Moore, he's made three straight cuts instead of including a fifth at the Valspar. And you look at this event, miscut last year, but then 76th, 3rd, and 7th. I got Hoffman here, 22nd, miscut, 2nd, 2nd, 64th his last five trips here. So, yep, definitely could be a get-right spot. I'll go right back to Matthias Schmid, 46th here last year in his debut. He's 21st, 17th, 26th, 10th his last four trips on tour. That's pretty dang good for $6,300. Spawn defending, he's won here before if you want to go that route. But Nate Lashley, 21st and 13th his last two events on tour at the Houston Open and the Players. And he comes in here going with miscut, 16th miscut. So pick your poison on what you want to look at there. With you on Bramlett. And then Joel Dahman as well. He's made three straight cuts here, missed cut last week, but he's playing good golf, and he's only $6,100. So I have no problem going back to big Joel Dahman. Who do you like in the 5K range?
Start with Sam Stevens. Finished second here last year. Two straight made cuts for him on tour. Kevin Doherty, $5,500. He's never played here, but two straight made cuts, back-to-back 45th place finishes for him. Lonto Griffin at $5,400. He's 4 out of 4 on made cuts at this event. Best finish was last year, finished 15th, coming off a 57th place finish at Houston, made the cut, finished 48th in Mexico. So two straight for him, and that's it.
Kevin Streelman, $5,600, 46th last year, 18th year before, 6th and 8th. Last four events at this golf course was pretty good. 26th of the Valspar, miscut the players, 32nd at Puerto Rico. So Streelman, he is a creature of habit. There's certain courses on tour he really likes. I'll take my chances down there. Ben Martin at $5,600, 10th here last year, 63rd, 34th, 45th. So four straight made cuts at this golf course for Ben Martin. 67th at the Valspar, 31st at Players, 42nd at Puerto Rico. Then Lonto Griffin, you mentioned, yeah, he's been crushing it at this golf course. And those are the three dudes I've got checked off down here. Trying to avoid it consistently. I have not played a 5K guy yet. Don't plan on changing that this week. All right, let's recap things, Jesse. 10K and above, who are you looking at?
I'm going to say Ludwig.
I'll go Hideki. Hideki is my number one man in the model. 9K range.
Been on.
I'll say Fitzpatrick. I'll start planting a flag on that. I'll stick with that one. 8K range.
Norin.
Yeah, that's the dude. That's the dude. You're going to take Norin, so I will take Brian Harman. 7K range.
McNeely.
Okay, I was not on EVR for me. Oh, it's EVR Glover. I'll cheat. It's one of those two. Those are both good. 6K range.
Grazerman.
Yeah, you might as well. You better play him this week. That's all I know.
Better bet him. Let's go.
Yeah, at least get like a top 20 or a top 40 out of him.
Yes.
Grazerman is a good call. Yeah, I know. I'm gonna go Matty Schmid. Go right back to that at $6,300. And then if you're going 5K hunting, where are you going?
I'm going to say Sam Stevens.
I'll go Kevin Streelman for me. Streels on that one. All right. If you're playing cash this week, which I think you can, where are you starting out?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely that 8K range. Norin, probably Aaron Rye, I would throw in there potentially. And then McNeely.
Yeah. I go Norin, Rye, McNeely, Glover, probably, even though Glover can make you squirm. That'd probably be where I'd go. So pretty similar to you. GPP, though, we got some fun. So where are you going here?
Yeah, Ludwig, Corey Connors, and McNeely.
I'll go Hideki, Fitz, and Norin. Just don't even get cute about it. You guys can get the cheap. You guys can go to the 7Ks where I love everybody. So have fun with that. All right, who you got winning this thing or who you got some bets on this week?
Yeah, I'm going to throw down looking at FanDuel odds here. So. Probably a little different than yours, but I got McNeely at 55 to win, Corey Connors at 25 to win, and then Tom Kim at 60 to win. I just feel like that's a big price. Also, I just went ahead and threw down 5 on Tom Kim to win. I mean, to top 20, Adam Scott's top 20, Corey Connors top 20, and Fitzpatrick to win as well. I forgot. I just threw him on there. So who are the guaranteed top 20 bets for you this week?
I'm going to start with top 40, and then I'll jump over your top 20. But you can get Grazerman top 40 at plus 140. That's anytime I get plus money, I'm interested, to put it that way, especially at a top 40 bet. Grazerman there. Schmid's at plus 165 to top 40. I think that's fun. So that'd be a couple. Let's go to top 20s, though. You can even do top 30s now. They just really want to take my money someday. Top 20s, Benny on at plus 170 is very, very enticing. At that, you like McNeely a lot. He's plus 230 if you're that much into him.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Yeah, but for some longer odds, EVR is plus 330. That has my attention. And if we're going to go full YOLO, man, you can get Grazerman at plus 400. Whew. If we're going to go full YOLO, give me Schmidt at basically 5-1 plus 500 at a top 20. That seems a little fun to me. But there's no hoagie this week. I can't just put my automatic hoagie play right in and walk away. I didn't even look real quick. I went right past him. What was my boy Norn? Norn's down to plus 150. I still like that, honestly, the way he's playing golf right now at this course. All right, that'll do it, Jesse. Next time we chat, Augusta. So any final thoughts this week for the Valero Texas Open?
I don't. Good luck.
Yep. Should be a fun one. Full field, fun golf course, getting ready for the Masters. Again, we'll come at you later, maybe this weekend, with some Masters coverage for you to get you ready for the week. But until next time, make sure you check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm Matt Beattie Entrick, and this was your 2024 Valero Texas Open. Catch you all next time. Anybody ever wonder?